one to another. Amen? Because it is in that that we find strength for every day. Because, boy, I'll tell you, hard times can definitely find you, right? And they find you rather quickly and easily. But we need to remember, God knew it was coming. So he's got the answer. We just have to turn to him. And that's what we're going to do today, because we're looking in our scriptures today. We're going to be talking about living in victory. So if you would, turn in your Bibles to the book of Romans. That's where we're going to be beginning. I was going to come up with a nice, quick, witty, in fact, I had two of them written out, introduction, okay? And I thought to myself, no, I have too much to talk about as I started delving into this section. It's actually going to be 2 weeks that we're on this section. It's two verses, Romans 12, 1 and 2. Two verses, and we are going to be in it for 2 weeks. There's no way I can get through these two verses in one half-hour session. And I'm going to be lucky to get through the first portion of it in 1 half-hour session. Because when you look at verse 1, I want you to look at verse 1, all right? And I'm going to tell you what I see. I'm going to tell you what the Lord has shown me here, and then you're going to get to deal with it as we look at it together. But God showed me that there's actually three points in this first verse. There are 3 points in the very first verse that we have to deal with. Because if we don't deal with those 3 points, if we just blow through it and make it one statement, make it one piece, we're missing everything he has to say to us within that little verse. So how many points are in a normal sermon? Three. You have your proposition, your body, and your conclusion, okay? So within that, there's 3 points. In my opening sentence, that's one sentence, I have 3 points. So today, I'm going to get into this, and I want you to look at this a little bit differently, because we're such a small group here today, okay? Normally, we're all spread out, but today, we're in a little group, so we're going to talk. Hi, ladies, how are you doing out there? Now, unfortunately, you're not going to get to talk to us, and those of you who are on the internet watching us, right now we have 11 ladies that are down at Rehoboth Beach. They're in, what's the name of the place? Millsburg, Delaware. So, good morning, ladies. If anybody's in their pajamas, hi. Lynn told me they were going to watch us in their PJs and eat breakfast while they're doing it. Can you believe they're eating breakfast in church? I told him, I said, I don't care. I said, I have no idea how people watch me on the internet, and that's fine. Glad you're here. Open your Bibles. I'm about to give you breakfast because God has a meal for us here. Opening. We're going to read the first two verses, and then we're going to go back, and we're going to look at what it says. It says, therefore, Paul is talking about everything he had written. I stay out from that side. Everything he had written from verses 1-1 up to this point. When you look at the book of Romans, chapter 12 is its climax. Chapter 12 is where he tells us what he's told us. All right? That means Romans is jam-packed with stuff. And I recommend, if you've never read it in a setting for devotion, please do the book of Romans as a devotion. And you are going to be changed by it. He says, therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. We all know that scripture. Many of us have read that scripture. It's quoted often in Christendom, okay? It covers a multitude of stuff. But has anybody ever sat down and literally pulled this thing apart and said, okay, just what does it mean? What is God trying to tell us here? Well, I'm going to tell you right now, God here is telling us how to overcome temptation and sin. He's telling us how to live the life of victory, how to live victoriously in this world. But we have to do some things. We have to work at some stuff. And where we begin is verse 1. When you look at verse 1, Paul says, again. Therefore, I urge you. Everything he had written. And then he makes his first point. By the mercies of God. Okay? And most of us would say, yeah, big deal. What's that mean? Move on. That's huge. Do you understand what the mercies of God afford us? Do you know what the mercies of God are? I'm going to say to each and every one of you here today, you do know what the mercies of God are. So to that, and that's why I said today's going to be a little different. Those of you who are out there on the internet land, you're going to be able to talk to the screen, but I can't hear you, so I can't interact with you. But you folks who are here today, guess what? You're going to help preach the sermon. Because we're going to do this like we do Bible study. How many of you have been in our discipleship groups? Okay, how many of you have been at Bible study? I ask a question, you give an answer. So guess what? Have you ever been in a sermon where you get to talk back to the pastor and it's a dialogue? That doesn't happen very often. So, see if I can do this. This thing's going to go whoom.
I'll take care of this.
Okay. We're going to lower this. I'm going to get a chair. I'm going to move up front so Chuck doesn't have to pan all over the place because pastor's moving everywhere. Awesome. Welcome to Church 101. My question to you is this. As you look at this scripture, I'm going to see if I can lock this leg. Got that one. We're not going anywhere. We're here for a while. Did you ever take notice to that? Oh, no, the pastor sat down. We're going to be here for a while. What does it mean by the mercies of God? I want to hear some results. What does God speak? What is he speaking to you, okay, from the scripture, from what you know about the scriptures? What are the mercies of God? What is the mercies of God?
Forgiveness.
Grace. What's grace? Ooh, yeah, that's a big one, isn't it? Yeah, that's a huge one. Keep going. What are the mercies of God?
God's riches at Christ's expense.
God's riches at Christ's expense. That's grace.
That's grace.
That's grace. Yep, yep. Keep going. What are his mercies? Come on, folks. Healing. Oh. Love. Bob.
Apostleship and sonship.
Ooh, adoption. Adoption and authority. That's what Bob just said. Adoption and authority. Okay, what are God's mercies? Come on. We're not done. How about power? How about strength? How about compassion? How about understanding? Oh my goodness, we can just keep listing and listing and listing and listing. When we understand what Paul is saying, because of all the things that you have received in Christ Jesus, you have received God's great mercies. You have received his grace. You have received his understanding. You have received his power because the Holy Spirit lives in us. We have, because of that, a reason to react rightly towards God. You're okay, Pete. I'm just stacking stuff up so I it doesn't blow away from me. I'd rather have that air blowing and keep us all cool than... Cool. That's awesome. So when he's talking here, he says, by the mercies of God, we need to understand he's talking to us about the first four chapters into the sixth chapter of Romans when he's talking about the things that have gone on. And to that, I want us to look at chapter 9, okay? I want us to understand that God's mercies afford something to us. So from Romans in chapter 9, because... I'm going to tell you right now, I don't have to go outside the book of Romans to preach this sermon. Romans 9 and 22 is where we're going to start, so I'll give you some time to get there. Because when you understand this, and you ladies down there at the beach, you go ahead and talk it amongst yourselves too. Just keep an ear to me so you know where I am. Because you need to work this stuff out too. I know you're sitting there talking anyhow, so you might as well talk about God. Amen? No, right now they're talking about me. Did you just hear what he said? Praise the Lord. From Romans chapter 9, verse 22. What if God, although willing to demonstrate his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much patience vessels of wrath prepared for destruction? Do you realize who he's talking about there? He's talking about us. Because all of us are dead in our sin before we come to Christ. Amen? But because of God's great mercies, he doesn't pour out that wrath. Instead, and he did so to make known the riches of his glory upon vessels of mercy, that we have received that mercy, which he prepared beforehand for glory. In other words, he already looked on us and said, we're sin, you're horrible, you're wretched, you're headed for death, but because I love you, I'm going to transpose you. I'm going to take your sin. I'm going to pay the price. I'm going to give you the strength, the power, and everything else to make you right with me again, because you can't do it. We cannot do it. But God in his mercy knows he can, because he is God. And he paid that price on the cross of Calvary for each and every one of us. So when we understand that overcoming our trespasses, overcoming our temptations, living life victoriously means, and again, I stated this the other week, we have to understand, you have to understand, that if we want to live this life of victory, what is the very first thing we have to do? It was the very first hymn we sung for the first 3 weeks of this sermon series. We have to focus on Jesus Christ for everything. Be thou my vision. God has got to be our vision. Everything has got to go through him. We have got to look upon him and what we have received, the graces, the mercies, the things that have sustained us and brought us into life. Otherwise, we're just simply going to forget about it. I want you to think about Israel, brothers and sisters. What happened to Israel when she got fat and happy? What happened? She got exiled. What happened? That was the result. But what happened? They forgot about God. What did they do? Paganism. They started worshiping other gods. They started running after money, didn't they, Rick? They started building idols in their own houses. How many of us have idols in our houses? How many of us live in an idol? We need to think about the mercies of God and what they have afforded us, because those things are eternal. Those things last forever. So when we come to this reality, the first place that we have to come to is understanding that we have got to start by looking upon God and what we have received. Because did God owe us anything? He owed us nothing. He owed us wrath. It's what it says here. He owed us wrath, but he's not done. From verse 24. Even us, whom he has also called, not from among Jews only, but also from among Gentiles. We need to remember, brothers and sisters, we are not of the promised people, are we? We are Gentiles. We are outside of the Jewish family. Now, if you would trace your ancestry back, I would reckon to say that some of us in this room have true Jewish roots. And a lot of us don't realize it. But because of the exile, because of the dispersia of the Jews throughout the world, many of us have intermingled with the Jewish faith. Many of us have Jewish lineage. And there's a lot of people right now looking, you know, listening to me online saying, oh, that's sacrilege. I don't care what you want to call it. Get your DNA tested. It'll prove it. Now, some of us, isn't going to be a drop of it, okay? But others, yeah, you're going to be able to see that Jewish ancestry. But for most of us, we are Gentiles who, by design, were outside of this hope. But Christ brought this hope to everybody, because he says this from verse 25. As he says also in Hosea, I will call those who were not my people, my people, and her who has not beloved, beloved. And it shall be that in the place where it is said to them, you are not my people, there they shall be called, get this, sons of the living God. That's mercies. That's God's mercies poured out upon us. We don't deserve any of the promises that were given to Abraham. We're not of the lineage. But God, in his great mercies, looked upon Abraham and said to him, as numerous as the stars are in the sky, and as the grains of sand on the seashore, so shall your descendants be. And when he was talking that, he was talking about an adoption. Folks, I want you to understand something. Abraham was adopted. Abraham was not born from God. Abraham was born a sinner, just as we were. And God adopted him first. And then through that adoption, the rest of us come into the family, because through that lineage then came the Christ. And we have been adopted into that very same reality. That's the mercies of God. Think on these things. Remember this. So when things are getting tough in your house, when the jobs aren't coming, when the paychecks aren't there, when the bills are piling up, think upon the mercies of God and how he has sustained you, what he's been there for you. Don't worry about this world, because if you're focused on this world, you're not going to focus on him, and you're not going to be looking in the directions he needs you to look for what you need to find. First option, focus on the mercies of God in your life. You want to live victoriously? Get your head out of your stuff and put your heart in Jesus Christ. I can't say that any better. Does it make sense? Awesome. Boy, there's a lot of heads nodding. I should be hearing dingle, dongle, dingle, dongle. Next one, turn back. This one here gets a little big. It's just the best way I can put it. He says to us in this second piece, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice. And I put these two together. It should be four here, but I put these two together because we need to live as having our bodies as a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God. All right? When we understand what that means, it's going to change your perception of your very self and what God is speaking about. Because I want you to think about something. When they offered up a sacrifice in Israel, was it alive? Mr. Lyle is back here nodding his head, yes. It was alive? I see other people nodding their head, yes. I'm sorry, wrong chicken. It was dead. They would slaughter it and then offer it before the Lord. All right? Getting technical. God gets technical, dude. That animal was once alive, but it is now dead and offered up to God. We, on the other hand, are dead in our sin and our trespass. But as we remember God's mercies and we come unto the Lord, we become alive. It doesn't end there. The Holy Spirit is also known as a flame. We remember that there is a fire that burns within us, and that is the fire of the Holy Spirit. For the Holy Spirit descended as tongues of flames and hovered over their heads. Do you remember that scripture? All right? So he is that burning fire, and we are to be that offering. Not a dead offering, but a living offering. Let me explain what I mean. Turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. We We are going to begin in verse 11, and we're going to go through 23. Romans chapter 6, verse 11 through 23. Beginning in the 11th verse, it says, "Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its lusts. And do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not be master over you, for you are not under law, but under grace." We need to understand something. Jesus reversed the order when he pulled grace into the equation. For he has given us who are dead life, that we may live unto God. Because right now, everyone who is outside of Christ Jesus is dead already to God, and they cannot be an offering unto him. They will be thrown away. It is only the God, he is only the God of the living. We need to remember that. Scripture is very clear. He is God of the living. He's also the God of the dead, but the dead will have nothing to do with him. They will be shunned and pushed away. They will be destroyed. They will go on to perdition. And for those of you who are out there watching, I pray you're hearing that, because you need to be alive in Christ Jesus to be able to live a life of victory. You cannot continue in this world, in this sin, and live a victorious life. You have got to remember who you are by the mercies of God, and you have got to begin to live in such a manner that your life reflects life-giving hope, which is Christ Jesus. He is that image that we are supposed to be. Can I get an amen? He says then from verse 15, "What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law but under grace? May it never be. Do you not know that when you present yourselves to someone as slaves for obedience, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin resulting in death or of obedience resulting in righteousness? But thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were committed. And having been freed from sin, you became slaves of righteousness." We need to understand that if we are going to live and make our lives living sacrifices, that means we need to deny ourselves, doesn't that? What does sacrifice mean? It means you're giving something up. To sacrifice something means you're being deprived of something. God's not depriving us of anything good. He's asking us to deprive ourselves of those things which would separate us from him. That we are to live as living sacrifices. We're alive in Christ Jesus. Now be alive in Christ Jesus. Don't keep going back to the dead. Stay alive in all that you are and in all that you do. So how many of you here right now, this past week, were tempted by something? It's going to happen, brothers and sisters. That's my whole point. We live in a world that is tainted by sin. Amen? If you are a living sacrifice, if you are alive, what does that call you to do in your body, in your being? What does it call you to do? What's that, Mr. Lau? Repent. Very good. Walk in obedience, you bet. What does it call you to do? Forgive. To forgive others? Oh, baby, you betcha. Wow, that's power. What does it call you to do if you are going to live? Love others. Oh, do we have to like them? No, but we have to love them. Mr. Lyle, oh, pray continually. Continually. What else? Yep.
Every moment.
Miss Sally said what she's hearing is we have to be in God and Jesus Christ at every moment, all the time. That's being a living sacrifice, denying self and becoming as Christ. You know, I think there's a scripture somewhere that might say that. This is understanding those realities. If you want to live victoriously, if you want to overcome temptation and overcome sin, brothers and sisters, I hate to tell you this, nobody broke your arm to make you sin. You choose it every time. So do I. And we have to stop. That means our focus, everything has to be on Christ. Continuing on. But thanks be to God that though you were slaves to sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching so to which you were committed. And having been freed from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. I am speaking in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, resulting in further lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, resulting in sanctification. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. Therefore, what benefit were you then deriving from the things of which you are now ashamed? For the outcome of those things is death. But now, having been freed from sin and enslaved, But now, having been freed from sin and enslaved to God, you derive your benefit, resulting in sanctification, and the outcome is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Can I get amen? Blessed be the word of the Lord. Amen and amen. You and I are to live in such a way that brothers and sisters, we are literally thinking about our sanctification all the time. That God is changing us. He is calling us out. What does it mean to be sanctified? To be called out from. You have been removed from that thing. You have been made holy. You have been set apart. Okay? You are sanctified. You have been set apart. You are no longer a slave to those things. You get to choose. And if you are thinking properly, you will choose well. How many of us choose well all the time? It's tough, but it can be done, and we need to do it. We need to think about it. So, we need to reason as Christ would reason. We need to understand as Christ would understand. We need to live as living sacrifices. And what kind of things are we going to have to give up if we're to be living sacrifices, brothers and sisters? Selfishness. What's that? Selfishness. Yep. What else?
Pride.
Ooh, yeah. What else?
Envy.
What else? You know, I think it's funny because if we're going to live as living sacrifices, that means my eyes can behold no evil. In other words, if you're addicted to pornography, get rid of the internet. If you're a drunkard and all you do is drink, cut your hand off. Wait, what did he just say? You realize Jesus said that. If your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. Do you think Jesus really meant to pluck your eye out and cut your hand off? No, he was talking about those things. If you have a drinking problem, you got to cut it off. Get help. Have others around you who are going to be able to encourage you, okay? If you have a problem that, you know, lust of the flesh and what have you, get some brothers around you. Get some sisters around you. Whatever you need to have that accountability. Get rid of the internet because that's where everybody does this stuff in secret. Get rid of it. But I need it. No, you don't. We didn't have it 25 years ago, and we don't need it now. If it's going to harm you, it's of no value. Get rid of it. To be a living sacrifice means you have to deny yourself. Please remember, the second part of this says acceptable to God. Doesn't necessarily mean it's acceptable to you. Because you and I are sinners. Can I get an amen? So we need to do whatever is necessary. That's what it means to be a living sacrifice. We need to do whatever God prescribes for us to do to be a living sacrifice. Now, this is for all of us. If we are at work and we hear gossip going on and people are down-talking somebody and we hang around and we listen to that gossip, are we being a living sacrifice? What should we be doing when that happens? Thank you, Brother Pete. You don't have to say a word. You can if you want to, but please be careful because your words can be sin. Okay? Don't condemn. Remember, it's not ours to condemn the world. It's God's. Now, if it's brothers and sisters in Christ, you better be rebuking somebody. But when we hear that kind of stuff, we are to flee. Get away from it. Don't be around it. Yeah, but then that means I won't be able to talk to anybody at work. Oh, well. Yeah, and I'm getting there, sister. You betcha. Did you hear that? Miss Gloria said, we got to watch our tongues. I was headed there next. Gossip. Oh, no, the church doesn't do any of that, do we? I think it's most amazing when we talk about being living sacrifices and offering up our bodies. That means our eyes, our ears, our mouths, our tongues, everything, our attitudes, our thoughts. Everything. This is huge. We have to reflect on God's mercies. Reflect on God's mercies. What did it cost him? What did he give me? What has he given me that I can get through this? To live victoriously means to die to self and to live to be Christ. To offer yourself as a living sacrifice, because we are alive in Christ. The Holy Spirit has bought us, and we are His. Turn to chapter 6. Look at verses 1 through 4. Verses 1 through 4. That's why I said, I got 3 minutes left, and I'm on my... So this is actually going to turn into 3 sermons. He says here, what shall we say then from 6 and 1? What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin so that grace may increase? May it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that Christ raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. You and I live in that newness. As the Holy Spirit dwells in us, we become that living offering, being burnt up. And I'm telling you right now, how many of you are dying even now? Every one of us is. That's a human reality. From the moment you are born, you are literally working to the grave. Okay? I hate to be that morbid, but it's the truth. All right? None of us in this physical being live forever. And then I have people say, oh, but the rapture. You're not going to have this body. It's going to be gone. All right? This body will disappear. Praise Jesus, because it's flawed, it's broken, it decays. Thank you, Grandma and Grandpa Adam and Eve. But glory be to God, we have a new body that God's going to give us, and it is eternal. But right now, there is an eternal part of us waiting unto that day, and that is our eternal spirit, who is sanctified, set apart, whole and holy by the power of God through the Holy Spirit. Can I get an amen? I'm preaching here. Don't you people hear me? I'm telling you. When we think about where we are to live as sacrifices unto God, we are on the altar every day. Do you understand what that means? You are going to be tempted every day. But every day, may the fire of the Holy Spirit be purifying you. May he be testing you. May he be bringing you to that resolution that you claim the victory in Jesus Christ, because you know the mercies that he has given you. You have experienced his love, his grace, his compassion. You know that no matter what life throws at you, no matter what you yourself throw at yourself, because of your fleshly desires. God has better and more for you. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, to live victoriously means choosing God at every moment, during every trial, for every reason. And it can happen, but your heart has to be focused on Christ. Now, boy, it sounds like Pastor's got this all right. Man, he must be perfect. Would you please all remember that the Holy Spirit preaches through me? And guess what? He preaches to me as well. Because I struggle myself. And I'm not ashamed to admit that. I'm ashamed of the things that I sometimes do. And glory to God, He's strengthening me and getting me through those things. Because I'll tell you right now, I ain't the man I used to was. Praise Jesus. And I'm looking forward to the ever more new things that Christ has in store for us. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Well, with that, I'm out of time. We didn't even get through but the first verses. Because we need to look at the spiritual act of worship. Okay? We didn't even finish this verse. We only got, that's living, being a living sacrifice. What does it mean to be a spiritual service of worship? Ooh, yeah. There's a whole second section here. So next time we get together, we're going to go there, and then we'll get into verse 2. And I have a feeling it's going to be a three-part sermon on one of my pieces. And I praise God for it. I hope that you're hungering for it, to live victoriously. Now, unfortunately, the next time we'll probably be out in the sanctuary, and I won't be sitting down, and we won't have this discussion type thing going on. But, hey, maybe we will. We'll see. Because I like this. I know the guys like it because I don't move. May God's mercies refresh you and renew you every day. May you live as living sacrifices unto our immortal God. Let's rise and pray. Oh, glorious God, we give you thanks, and we just praise you because it is through your mercies that we truly have that recognition to be able to say, yes, Lord, I can see and I can understand because you have gotten me through these tough times, and I can trust you. I can trust you. So, Lord, we pray that you would help us to live victoriously day by day, to become living sacrifices, and then to understand what it means to give ourselves as spiritual acts of worship. Oh, my. Wow. Wait till we get there. What a place that is. Father, bless all those who are hearing this sermon this day. Keep them by your strength and power, and may they live victoriously in the name that is above every name. The name that every tongue shall confess and every knee shall bow, our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.